Let's come before the Lord in prayer, church. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. Lord, we rejoice, for this is a day that you have made, O God. Lord, we pray that you allow your word to be preached with clarity and anointing this morning, O God. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart, Lord. Lord, I humble myself before you as your servant, Lord. May you anoint my lips of clay. I pray, Father God, that you hide me behind the cross. And Lord, our only desire this morning is that the name of Jesus will greatly be magnified, Lord. In whose name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, guys, I've entitled today's sermon, Persevering in Truth. As what TJ said, we are now in the fourth chapter of our study in the book of 1 Timothy. Now, you'll see that from the previous lessons we have the previous weeks, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter in order to instruct Timothy in order to address certain issues within the church, like rebuking false teachers, correcting wrong doctrines, training the brethren and instructing them how to behave. And Paul also gave the qualifications of elders and deacons and so on and so forth. Now, what I'm trying to say is that this letter is written by Paul in order to address issues and concern inside the church. Now, while the primary recipient of this letter is Timothy, I strongly believe that when Paul wrote this letter, he also had in his mind the congregation that Timothy was pastoring when he wrote this letter. So guys, in other words, 1 Timothy is written for people inside the church. 1 Timothy is written for people like you and me, people who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I go to the sermon proper, allow me to sidetrack for a moment because I believe that is somewhat in line with what we're going to discuss this morning. Now, let me ask all of you a question. Guys, what do you think is more tragic than a person going to hell? I mean, what is more tragic than a person spending the rest of his or her existence in a godless eternity? What is more tragic than a person going to hell? Well, what is more tragic than a person going to hell is a person who thinks and believes and expects that he or she is going to heaven, but yet ends up in hell. And guys, the sad reality in church today is that there are actually people who are like this, having a false assurance of their salvation. They think that they are saved, but in reality, they're not. And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to Timothy here in the opening verse of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says here, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits." Now, here in verse 1, the Bible clearly tells us that there will be people who will depart from faith. Now, the people here that Paul is referring to are people who have heard the gospel, people who are already in the fellowship. They know the truth. They join the church, but somehow they departed from the faith. Now, guys, it is remarkable to note that Paul said people will be departing from faith. Paul didn't say that people will be departing away from the fellowship. So guys, it is highly possible that you could remain in the fellowship, remain in the church, but you have already departed from faith. So this is an eye-opener for all of us. In fact, a good warning for all of us. That joining and attending Christian gatherings or doing some Christian stuff like Bible studies or attending services or even serving in the ministry, it is not a guarantee of true Christianity. This is not a guarantee of a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I study God's word, I always have the habit, I have the tendency to relate everything to the four gospels. When I study God's word, I have the tendency to connect the scriptures passages to what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught or spoken. So guys, in line with this thought, I would like to bring you now for a moment to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. So if you have your Bibles, please turn it with me. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus said here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So guys, we can see here from this passage coming from the Lord Jesus Christ himself that in the judgment day, there will actually be some people who are expected that they are saved. But all they got is a false assurance of salvation. And this is the reality inside the church today, guys. There are people like this. And on that day, Jesus said, he would just plainly tell these people that he never knew them. And like what Paul said to Timothy, those people who departed from faith will suffer the same fate. Now, guys, it's sad because actually I know of someone who many years ago, he prayed like a man on fire. I mean, when he prays, he was just all out in worshiping the Lord. I mean, the moment he begins to pray, his neighbors would know that he's already praying because he was just praying aloud inside his room. And he was very active in different fellowships. He was very active in different Bible studies. And I really thought that someday he's going to become a minister of the Lord. But guys, sadly today, he is not active in any ministry. In fact, he doesn't belong to any church. And he is colder than cold when it comes to the Christian things. Now, what used to be a man very on fire for the Lord is now behaving and acting like an unbeliever. And the sad thing is this. Some years ago, I confronted him of his sins because he was partying and getting drunk like crazy. I mean, he was living a life that was kind of way out of control. So I went to him and I told him, you are a professing Christian. You're not supposed to behave like this way. You're not supposed to act this way. And you know what his reply was? He told me, sige lang, Jo. Christian na bitaw ko. Save naman ko. Now really, is that what the Word of God tells us? Now he has this false assurance of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ plainly tells us in his Word that there will be those who are expected that they are saved, but in reality, they're not. They are people who are greatly deceived. So this guy who used to be on fire for the Lord and now is living a life like an unbeliever, what happened here? Well, the way I see it, this person who used to be so much into the Lord and is now living life like an unbeliever was that he failed to devote himself into the truth. He failed to devote himself into the full counsel of God's Word. And I would like to put emphasis on full. Now, what do I mean by that? Church, you should understand that the Bible is not just John 3:16. There's the rest of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, etc., etc., up to the book of Revelation for us to obey and follow. And as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to adhere and devote ourselves to the full counsel of God's Word. And what, guys, if we do not devote ourselves to the Scriptures, if we do not devote ourselves to the full counsel of God, we will be devoting ourselves to something else. And what is that something else? Verse 1, Paul says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. Now guys, how many of you realize that deceitful spirits are indeed so deceitful? They're so deceitful that you won't even know that you've already been deceived. And in fact, there are so many people inside the church today who are already deceived, who are greatly deceived, but yet they do not have a single clue. Now guys, what I'm about to say is something controversial, especially for the hardcore Calvinists. But I believe that it needs to be addressed. Now guys, there are so many people in church today who are greatly deceived by this statement. Now, what is that statement? Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Now, there have been so many people who's been misled by this statement. In fact, there are so many people who are abusing this Christian cliche. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is a teaching of demons, but I believe that demons can also use this. Now, I believe that a person once saved is always saved. I believe every thought of that. But you know what? Instead of just saying once saved, always saved, I would rather say once genuinely saved is always saved. And I would put so much emphasis on the word genuinely. So church, the big question is right now, how genuinely saved are you? How genuinely saved are you? Now guys, in the context here of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the best way to examine ourselves if we are really saved or not, the best way to examine ourselves if we are really true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ or not is that let's go to what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Let's cross-reference this to John chapter 15, verse 7 to 8. This brings me to my first point. Point number one, guys, in order for us to persevere in truth, be not deceived. That's my first point. Be not deceived. Now, to know whether we're true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ or not, Jesus said here in John 15, verse 7 to 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, the Lord Jesus said that if we abide in him and let his words, meaning the full counsel of God's word, the scripture, if we abide in Jesus and let the scripture abide in us, Jesus said the Father will be glorified because we will be bearing fruit. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing much fruit is proof that we are his disciples. Now, bearing fruit and glorifying God is an evidence that we are true, genuine believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however, you have to understand, guys, that the prerequisite or the requirements of glorifying God or bearing fruit in our life is to abide in Jesus and let his words, let the scriptures, let the Bible abide in us. So the great requirement for bearing fruit and glorifying the Lord is to abide in Christ and abide in his word. And in truth, that's what will protect us from deceitful spirits. If you want to know if you're really saved or not, ask yourself, is your life glorifying the Lord? Is your life being fruitful for the glory of Jesus? So guys, the deeper question is, it's not whether we're saved or unsaved, but rather the deeper question is our life bearing fruit for the glory of Jesus or not? Because that's reality, guys. A mark of a genuine believer is that your life is bearing fruit for the glory of Jesus. It's not because at one point in your life you have prayed the sinner's prayer, although that's important. But again, the deeper question is your life bearing fruit? Is your life giving glory to Jesus? And guys, mind you, if you abide in Christ, if you abide in his word, it is very impossible for you to become unfruitful. So point number one, for us to persevere in truth, examine yourself. Be not deceived. Ask yourself, is the Lord glorified in your life? Okay? Now, point number two, let's read verse 2. Paul says, through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared. Paul is saying that these false teachings come from the insincerity of liars. Through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared. Now, point number two, for us to persevere in truth, is that you need to develop a Berean attitude. Like the Berean Christians. Now, who are these Berean Christians? They are the Christians who scrutinize the Word of God. I mean, they are really passionate with the Word of God. They would really try to examine if what you're saying is true or not. I mean, they are really so much into the Word. If I could put an animation of it, it's like they're going to get a magnifying glass and read the Bible like that. I mean, the Bible is so precious to them. The truth is so precious to them. The Word of God is so precious to them. And for us to persevere in truth, we should develop the same kind of attitude as the Berean Christians. Because you know why, guys? False teachings can also come from false teachers. Now, I'd like to read the contemporary English version here of verse 2. Because the translation is kind of clear here. It says, they will also be fooled by false claims or false teachings of liars whose conscience have lost all feelings. Now, guys, the moment we do not adhere or submit ourselves to the full counsel of God's word, we will also be opening up ourselves. We will make ourselves gullible to these false teachers. So that's why here in Living Word, in the Living Word family, the pulpit is the most guarded thing among all other. I mean, from Pastor Mel to Dr. Ang to Pastor TJ and to the rest of the pastoral team, we are very cautious of what is being preached and taught from the pulpit. We are very careful of what is being taught in our MD groups. Because we know that false teachings, no matter how holy sounding they are, no matter how logical they may seem, and no matter how politically correct they are, false teachings are very, very, very destructive. In fact, they can destroy people, you know. Now, just this Tuesday, when we had our MD group with Dr. Ang, he shared to us a story. that a couple from Singapore went for a counseling session with him. They asked to have a counseling session with Dr. Ang. They had problems with their marriage. Now, during the counseling session, the husband confessed that he had an affair. So Dr. Ang told the wife, "Oh, your husband already confessed? Why can't you just forgive him?" So the wife said, "Problem is, Dr. Ang, I've forgiven him over and over again. He's not just having an affair with one woman, but he's having different affairs with different women inside the church." So you see, the husband, Dr. Ang was so shocked with this revelation, he confronted the husband. "You're a professing Christian. Why are you doing this? You're not supposed to do this." So the husband gave the popular excuse, "Oh, Dr. Ang, I am just human. I have my own weakness." But you know what, Dr. Ang, our pastor says, "God's grace is so powerful. God's grace has already overcome my sin yesterday, today, and even if I commit sin tomorrow, my sin is already forgiven because of God's grace." You know what, guys? I know their pastor. And their pastor is a very gifted speaker. But the problem of this pastor is that he only talks about God's favor. He only talks about God's grace. Never talks about repentance. Never talks about the cross. So what is half-truth is not full truth. What is half-truth can never become the truth, right? You get what I'm saying? So half-truth is false teaching, guys. And you know what? This kind of false teaching destroyed the marriage of this couple. Again, false teachings can become very, very dangerous. Now, during the time of Timothy, there were false teachers in the church trying to deceive the brethren. But now, in our present time, with our technological advancement, false teaching and false teachers, they are everywhere. I mean, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, you got the television, you got all other media outlets. And the problem with these false teachers is they are covered under the umbrella of evangelical Christianity. So guys, just because they are pastors or just because they are covered under the umbrella of evangelical Christianity doesn't mean that they cannot be false. Now, I've encountered some of these Facebook posts myself. I've seen posts from supposedly a man of God. I mean, he pastors a mega church in Houston. And I've seen his posts. His posts are so encouraging. His posts are so holy sounding. But then again, the problem is he's not proclaiming the full counsel of God's word. His preaching, his posts, his sayings, all about God's favor, all about God's grace, all about God's blessing. Again, no mention of the cross, no mention of sacrifice, no mention of the glorious gospel. And he sometimes exaggerates what the word of God is saying. And you know how many of you realize that exaggerating of God's word is still false? Exaggerating of God's word is still a lie. Now, the problem of these types of teacher is that they kind of reduce God and depict God as an almighty genie instead of an almighty God who's worthy of all praise, who's worthy of all worship. They reduce God as if God is just like an inexhaustible ATM machine where they just ask, withdraw. No preachings of worship. So guys, this is a very, very dangerous thing. And the problem is there are actually professing Christians who likes their posts, who shares their posts, and some of them, worse, is that they embrace it as real solid doctrines. Now again, my brother, now you don't ever say that you're very grounded. Because if there is anyone who I may look up to in faith, one of the people who I really look up to in faith is my elder brother. Because I've seen his life. He's a passionate Christian. He's a very devoted Christian from a very young age. But at the same time, he's also a wide reader. He's grounded doctrinally. But at some point, some 8 years ago, he began to read some books. And he was inclining towards hyper grace. He began to embrace, he began to accept the theology of hyper grace. Now, there was a time in his life that he was taking medicine which he was not supposed to take for a certain period of time. So when the doctors found out na overuse niya ang medicine, the doctor needs to taper the medicine, take it out of his system. As a result, he had depression. Now, his depression was supposed to be manageable. But what made things complicated was his theology and understanding about this wealth, health, wealth, prosperity teaching. So during that time, instead he was, pwede ta siya moduol sa Ginoo, he could have come before the Lord and asked God for help. He simply couldn't because in his mind, he was thinking that God was rejecting him. No, and it made matters worse. He was afraid to pray because he thought he's going through this difficult time in his life, and he was thinking, God must have rejected me because I'm going through this difficult time. And that made his depression so severe to the point he almost went crazy. False theology, wrong teaching. It can destroy lives, church. Now, praise God, my brother went to Pastor Mel for counseling. And during their counseling, Pastor Mel was able to pinpoint the problem of my brother. And that was the false teaching that he was embracing. So again, false teaching, they're very, very dangerous. Now, another example I could bring to you is that you parents, or you guys, you should be very careful on what you read or watch in the internet. Because it was just recently that I had a problem with a very dear brother. I mean, I really loved the brother. He was with us many years ago, and during the time, he used to be very teachable. Very teachable. A very lovely young man. But you know what? After a few YouTube videos, a few bits of reading garbage stuffs, he began to question the authenticity of God's word. He questioned some accounts of the scriptures, especially in the book of Genesis. Now, we spent time together to discuss his issues, but somehow, he was already very skeptic about God's word, so far from what he used to be. Well, the consolation is, he hasn't renounced Christ, and I still believe that he's a Christian, and I really hope that he would come to repentance. But the problem is, the moment we begin to deny the word of God, the moment we begin to deny the authority of God's word, even just a small portion of it, it can totally destroy our view of God. The moment we begin to question the authenticity of God's word, even just a single passage, it will really distort our view of who God really is. Now, this dear friend became a reasoner. He's now into evidence. He's now into reasoning. Now, he was telling me, Brother Joe, if this is so and so, if this is what the Lord really did, give me evidence. Give me reasons. Well, church, we're supposed to receive the word of God as an act of faith. So again, false teachings, what we put into our mind, what we absorb, they're so dangerous. So for us, in order for us to persevere in truth, we got to develop a Berean attitude, where we will have love for the truth of God's word. Now, one time, while I was sharing to this brother, I told him, bro, I was sharing to him how the Lord prospered my business, because that year, it was a wonderful year. I told him, bro, I just want to give thanks to God. You know, my business went so well. But the thing is, I'm a college dropout, and I'm really not a businessman. But the thing is, the Lord prospered my business, and I give glory to God. You know what he told me? His answer quite shocked me. He told me, Brother Joe, you know what? This thing that you're telling me, it can be explained by reason, man. What do you mean, Vin? What do you mean this can be explained by reason? Well, he told me, you have a very good location for your business. That's why people come to you. You are an honest businessman. Nobody wants to deal with dishonest businessman. That's why people come to you. Now, you sell nice stuff. I'm not trying to promote my business, huh? But this is what he's saying. So you sell nice stuff. That's why people would come to you. People don't want to go to ugly stuff. So I was telling him, Vin, you know where this is going. I'm trying to give glory to God. I'm trying to give honor to the Lord. But here you are giving glory to human effort. Because he is now into reasoning and evidence. Again, guys, if we question just a portion of God's word, it is very, very dangerous for all of us. So that's why be careful of what you read. Be careful of what you hear. Be like the Berean Christian. Let us be alert to spot false teachings. Let us be alert. It's nice to learn some things. But you know what? Over the years as a Christian, there were also many things that I tried to unlearn. Because the more we study God's word, the more we will know what is true and what is false. The word of God is like a mirror. It reflects us. It will tell us who we are, where we are in our walk with the Lord. So for us to persevere in truth, number one, make sure that you're not deceived. Number two, develop a Berean attitude. Now point number three, for us to persevere in truth, uphold the message of the cross. Uphold the message of the cross. Now verse 3, Paul says here in verse 3, these false teachers, according to Paul, he said here in verse 3, they forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now here in verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, that some false teachers in the church where Timothy was pastoring, they were forbidding people to marry and abstain from certain foods, which of course the Apostle Paul corrected, because according to him, we are to receive all things with thanksgiving as a gift from the Lord. Now, the Bible does not give us an overall view of why these false teachers were forbidding marriage and letting people abstain from certain foods. But it seems like, and most likely, as scholars believe, they were gauging holiness by what is being denied and what is being given up. In other words, they were teaching man that we can actually become holy by our own efforts. They were teaching man that if you do not marry, if you do not eat these types of food, you are becoming more and more and more holy. Now, what these false teachers were doing was that they were trying to carnalize holiness. Meaning they were trying to imply that man can achieve holiness through their own effort. And as Bible-believing Christians, guys, of course we know that this is not true. Because we will never be able to make ourselves holy. Only God can do that, amen? And these false teachers, they were teaching the exact opposite of what God is teaching us. Because clearly in Romans 3, 23 to 24, says here, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God with a deserved kindness declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalties of our sins." The Bible is very clear that all of us are sinners. In other words, all of us are holy. And all of us fall short of the glorious standard of God. So guys, this means no matter what things we deny, no matter how hard we try, we will never be able to reach God's glorious standard. But this is what the false teachers were teaching the people in Timothy's church. You can become holy by your own effort. And again, we know this is never true. Because none of us here can make ourselves holy. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus rose again from the dead. So that he can make us holy and empower us to live holy lives. Again, these false teachers are teaching the opposite. But guys, if you just put logic onto this kind of teaching, what do you think is more possible? No, if you put it in a philosophical way, is it more possible for an inferior being reaching out to a superior being, or a superior being reaching down to an inferior being? So which is more logical, right? So guys, any teaching that will teach you that you can become holy by your own, it is a false teaching. And actually, this is what separates Christianity from the rest of all other religion. Because the rest of all other religions, all their practitioners, is that they're trying to appease their God. They're trying to reach out to their God. They're trying by their own effort to please their God. But you know what, guys? In Christianity, it is God reaching down to man. It is the holy God reaching down to unholy man. So point number three, what's that? Point number one, be not deceived. Point number two, develop a Berean attitude. Point number three, uphold the message of the cross. Because it is only through the cross we are made holy. Now last point, verse 4 to 5. It says here, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So last point, point number 4. In order for us to persevere in truth, we have to hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to the word of God. Now again, the false teachers in Timothy's time, they were trying to tell people to abstain from certain food. Now I believe that these were the types of food that were forbidden in the Jewish law. But then again, Paul says it's okay to eat them with thanksgiving and prayer. Now just to put your thought in line with what I'm trying to say, let me bring you now to Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, and I'll be reading from NLT for clarity's sake. Acts chapter 10, verse 12 to 17, says here, "And he," referring to Peter, "he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. In other words, Peter had a vision. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." Verse 17, once again, the voice spoken, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." In other translation, it says, do not call something unclean which God declared it to be clean. So guys, the Bible is very clear. We are to receive food with thanksgiving. It is okay to eat food. Why? Because God already declared it to be clean. He declared it in His Word. But here are some false teachers during the time of Timothy. Although God already declared it clean, there's these false teachers who are still saying, no, you cannot eat that. What I'm trying to say, guys, is these false teachers just won't heed God's Word. They will always say what is the opposite of what God has spoken. Now, for us to persevere in truth is that we need to hold fast to the Word of God. Because you know what? Whether it's deceitful spirits or whether it's false teachers, the attack will always remain the same. They will contradict the Word of God over and over again. I mean, guys, times have changed. Methods have changed. But their target, these deceitful spirits, these false teachers, they remain the same. They attack the Word of God that is in you. Whatever Word that's planted in your heart, whatever Word of God that you've learned from Bible studies, in your own personal devotion, from the pulpit, they will always attack that in you. In fact, how was Eve tempted? Eve was tempted while the serpent twists the Word of God, right? Did God really say this? Did God really say this? Guys, the attack remains the same. And for us to persevere in truth, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. There will really be times in your life that you will question the Word of God. There will be times in your life that you will question the promises of God. There will be times in your life that you will doubt, "Lord, you promised me this, but how come I'm going through like this right now, Lord? Lord, is your Word really dependable, Lord? Can I really trust what you promised me, Lord?" I mean, the attack will always be the Word of God. And they will distort the Word of God. They will distort your understanding. As a result, you'll have a wrong view of God. Now, those health, wealth, prosperity teachers, they're making God, they're presenting a Jesus who's like an everlasting genie, giving you what you want. I mean, God does bless us, but their theology is just so much. Their theology is just far out. The attack would always be making you, you know, giving you a false view of who God really is. So as Christians, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. Now, one simple strategy of the enemy is that they simply make you forget God's Word. Maybe you're hearing this preaching right now, it has convicted you, but the moment you step out of the door, it's gone. The enemy made you forget it. I mean, Jesus himself spoke about that the enemy came to steal. And one of the things that they will steal in you is that they will really take away what you've learned from God's Word. So as Christians, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. In fact, James tells us to not just be merely hearers of the Word. Because if you just hear the Word of God and do not practice them, according to James, we are deceiving ourselves. And the deadliest among them is that they will take you out from the cross of Jesus. I mean, one of the strategies that the enemy is using right now, okay, you serve. Okay, you attend Bible studies. Learn as much as you can. But they will water down the message of the cross. They will water down the message of the gospel. That's why today, guys, there are so many half-baked Christian in our midst. By half-baked, I'm saying Christian lang sa pangalan, but in reality, they are not. Because what really identifies us as believers of the Lord is the cross of Jesus Christ. So church, for us to persevere in truth, four very simple things. Number one, be not deceived. Ask yourself, is your life really bearing fruit for the glory of Jesus? Is your life really glorifying the Lord? Because guys, marks of a genuine believer is not because at one point in our life we prayed the sinner's prayer, although that's very important. Marks of a genuine believer is that our life is giving glory to the Lord. So, point number one, check yourself if you're not deceived. Remain in the Lord, remain in His Word. Point number two, develop a Berean attitude. Have passion for the truth of God's word. Number three, uphold the message of the cross. Uphold the message of the cross. And number four, hold fast to God's word. Now guys, in closing, let's remember what Jesus said, right? He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now what is bread unto man? Bread is something we need in order for us to live, right? I mean, if Jesus was born as a Filipino, this verse could have gone, man does not live on rice alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What happens if we don't eat? We die. Now guys, I think it was TJ who gave this illustration. Now, if there's a dead man lying there and you throw him a lechon, what happens? The man will not have any reaction, right? Even if it's Rico's lechon or CNT. Because why? He's dead. He doesn't have any appetite. Now, what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Church, if you do not have any appetite for the Word of God, maybe it's because highly possible that you're still unsaved. Maybe it's highly possible you do not have any appetite for the Word of God because your spirit is not yet made alive. Now, guys, I have now a 12-year-old daughter, and mind you, she has an appetite like mine from small, no? And you know what? When she was still small, one of the early signs that tells me that she's becoming sick is that when she loses her appetite. Kung di na ganina siya ganahan mo kaon, I think she's gonna become sick or she's already sick. And again, this illustration is also true in the spiritual. If indeed you're truly saved, if indeed you're saved, your name is written in the book of life, but yet you do not have an appetite for God's word, it is highly possible that you are spiritually sick. Maybe you need repentance. Maybe you need that fire once again to burn in your heart to be passionate for the Lord. Now guys, there are just times in our life that we need to force feed ourselves with the word of God. You know what? In honesty, before right this morning, you know what? I myself had become lax in my study of God's word. But as I was meditating on this passage, I came to realize how important God's word is for us in our sanctification and in fact, in our salvation. And that's where I appreciate Brother Nick Shan here. I mean, sometimes or most of the times, he sounds like a broken record, mind you, an old broken record. But every time we had our pastoral meeting, he'll always say, the word, the word, the word. We have to study the word. I mean, he puts so much emphasis on the word. And with this, I would just like also to invite all of you guys, if you do not have yet an MD group, join an MD group. Let's study the word of God together and be rebuked at the same time, be encouraged. So then again, for us to persevere in truth, what I'm saying is the word of God is very important. Amen? Let's all bow our heads, guys, and let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, guys, I think this message has spoken to some of you this morning. And mind you, this is not a coincidence that you're here this morning hearing this message. Maybe some of you here, you're still doubting your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've been attending services the past years, the past month, or I don't know how long you've been joining Christian gatherings, but yet you do not have that real solid assurance. You don't have that solid assurance that you are of the Lord. Rest well, my brothers and sisters, because the Word of God clearly tells us that it is Him who makes us holy. That's why 2,000 years ago, the only begotten Son of God came from heaven to earth. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. He died. Why? Because He knows that you will never be able to make yourself holy. That's why He shed His precious blood. My friend, when Jesus hung on the cross, when He shed His precious blood on the cross, please know this. He knows you by name. And He did it because He wants to pay for the penalties of your sins, because He knows that you can never make yourself holy. He died, He rose again, He defeated the power of sin because He knows you can never defeat your sin. But guys, maybe this morning you want to make a new commitment to the Lord. You want to tell Jesus, Lord, enough of these worldly things, Lord. I want to become fruitful. I want to bear fruit for your glory. I want to be a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make everything short, guys, if this morning, if it is your desire to surrender your life to Jesus and make Him truly the Lord of your life, We would like to pray for you. We would like to pray for you. And just so we will know that we will be praying for someone, we would just like to ask you, at the count of three, if this is your desire to surrender your life to Christ, to follow Jesus all the days of your life, if this is the desire of your heart this morning, at the count of three, I would just like to request you to raise up your right hand so that we will be able to pray for you. It's not about religion. It's about commitment to Christ. So guys, while every head bow, every eyes close, if it's your desire to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus today, at the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God for that hand. Keep them raised for a moment so that we can know. Okay, you may put them down right now. Let's just all stand as we pray. And to help those who raise their hand, just repeat this prayer after me. And as you say this prayer, guys, mean it from your hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come on, let's help those who raise their hands, guys. Lord Jesus, today I come before you. I humble myself. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've committed so many sins. Today, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I know that you're the Son of God. And today, I receive you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, Lord Jesus, I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord Jesus, please make me holy. Please help me to abide in you. Lord Jesus, please help me to grow in your word. From this day on, help me to follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the reminder this morning, O God, that as your believers, Lord, as your disciples, Lord, we need to persevere in the truth, O God. So, Lord, we just humble our hearts before you right now, Lord, praying, O God, that you be the one to empower us, O Lord. You be the one to lead us all the days of our life, O God. So, Lord, we pray that you just continuously consecrate our hearts, Lord. That, Lord, we would be able to live our lives, Lord, gazing upon your beauty and your majesty, Lord, holding fast to your words, O God. And, Lord, we also want to thank you, Father God, for what has been accomplished this morning, Lord. And, Lord God, we just want to give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.